Hello and welcome to another edition of the Crippled Crisp Review. As always, I am Marijn, or Captain Kane.
And I'm Sam, or Brace Boy, and this is episode 50. And we're not going to say that this is a special number or a special episode, because we do that every week.
But this one is a special episode.
Yeah, should we start with a song?
Did you prepare a song? Let me hear it.
No, not really. And I'm a little under the weather, so you may hear that my voice isn't at its utmost finest.
It's cracking a bit.
It's cracking a bit. So I will remain. I will not partake in singing songs.
Okay. So what song?
For now.
What song you want? Because this is let us tell to
the listener, this is
our special Sinterklaas episode.
Yeah. Sinterklaas, we know everybody has an opinion about Sinterklaas. It's an international opinionated day.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about racism and all that stuff, because I'm against Black Pete. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I guess no one in their right mind
is in favor of Black,
Pete.
Let's just say that. But there are, we are just gonna talk about Sinterklaas food today, and that's hopefully without any racist consequences. Can we just say that?
I guess so.
Yeah, let's start. Even Kim Kardashian is now talking about Black Pete.
It's pretty big.
It's quite of a big deal right now.
But I believe Americans.
Yeah.
Mostly Americans are for quite some time very outspoken about this tradition, because they have Santa Claus, which is like Sinterklaas, but Santa Claus has fairies.
Elves.
And we have Black Pete, who is very similar to blackface, and some would even say it is blackface.
I reckon it is blackface.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Americans are telling us for quite some time, hey, what the fuck? What the is going on here? What is this?
You can't swear in this podcast. We have.
Oh, I can.
You can, yeah.
Oh yes.
As long as you don't say any racist stuff, you can.
What the
swear
fuck is this? And
yeah.
At first, I must admit, at first I was all for Black Pete, not because I was in favor of the blackface caricature.
Yeah.
But because the origin of Black Pete and Sinterklaas is about a reversal of roles and a transformation of some kind. So I thought it was very logic to have white versus black, not in skin color tones, but as opposition to each other.
Yeah, as yin and yang kind of thing. Yeah.
Something like that. And that was my reason to be all for Black Pete, and that is still inside me, but I know I'm in a minority, and people in some people in the Netherlands still want blackface Pete, let's call it that way, and I see that is racist, and that is not the way we should go.
No, certainly not.
So there's that.
There's that.
Now on with the podcast.
Yeah.
I have brought some Sinterklaas goodness.
Yeah.
These are pepernoten.
Yeah, pepernuts.
Don't translate it directly.
Yeah, I know, but it's just fun to say and I think.
Well, it's small cookies of gingerbread.
Small cookies. Is this the first time we're doing something sweet on the podcast?
I guess so.
We did do
dips, which could be also a little sweet, not necessarily, but
yeah,
because they are made of tomato and then
Yeah, but and then, we did the Prosecco and Winterberry crisps last year, I think.
Which were not very good.
Yeah, and they weren't really sweet as well because there was a lot of salt in there as well. So that's there's of course salt in paper note as well because I think everything you bake should have a little salt in there just to pronounce flavor. It's just flavor pronunciation, I think. I reckon.
But these are sweet.
Sweet. These
and
are.
I brought two bags, and yeah. I must say these are from the royal supplier of gingerbread. Paper
so the time. So the king and the queen and the little princesses eat these.
I guess.
Out of their very expensive shoes. Because it's very important to know Dutch people eat paper note out of their shoes. Because you get them thrown into your shoes. So eventually you have to eat them and then you eat them from their shoes. Because you can't wash them because it's a cookie. And you can't wash cookies because it will just get soggy and nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... I guess.
Yeah.
These are... these paper note are from Van Delft.
Yeah,
the pepernotenfabriek.
Yeah,
and this was founded in 1880.
Yeah, this is a long traditional.
So they do this.
Yeah,
so
bakery.
They know how to do this.
Yeah, let's just test them out. Packaging wise, it's see-through, so you see that it's just normal pepernoten.
I think they look like normal pepernoten. The logo is printed in black with. I guess it's white.
Yeah.
White writing all over it. It looks pretty classy.
It looks very... Yeah. It looks like the royal family would be okay having this on their table.
So, yeah.
Or in their shoe.
I'm going to open the bag. Yeah, spicy. But they smell very good. Spicy. A little bit... Well, we're going to talk about the spices that are going in there later on.
Yeah.
They have this rich, wintry aroma.
Talking about the royal family, I have a story I heard from somebody that I trust that lives in the region of Wassenaar, where the royal family used to live before they moved into the to the palace in Den Haag, I think. And it's supposedly that princess, what's the oldest princess? Amalia is her name, right? The oldest princess?
I guess so,
yeah, I'm not going to name my source because what I'm going to say is potentially illegal in the Netherlands because you cannot offend the royal family and you can get a fine to do that. But apparently Amalia... when she plays hockey, which everybody in Wassenaar does because it's Wassenaar,
it's a national sport.
Yeah, she shouts to everybody on the field, "Do you know who the fuck I am? I'm Princess Amalia. I'm gonna be your queen someday, and if you tackle me, I will get you killed or something." She's like quite a little.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a banger.
And that's why it's good that. The king doesn't have any executive power anymore.
Yeah, true. That's and the queen in the future doesn't as well. Okay, I'm trying out one of these paper notes. No, they're very good.
In the beginning, they taste like normal paper notes.
Yeah.
But... Once you have chewed the whole paper note and swallow it, the aftertaste is very long. I really like it.
Yeah, I just sprayed. I just used some nose spray to clear up my nose, and now I can taste a little bit more. And I have to say, these are just amazing paper note. I just want to pronounce it in an English way. I don't know why. Let's just go to the roundup for this ones, I think.
Yeah,
these ones.
Yeah,
because
good.
We have...
No. Don't spoil the fun.
No. the crunch is... let's do it reverse-wise because it's a new
product.
Crunch is the first thing that I notice when you pop them into your mouth, and that's already.
These are really crunchy.
This is 5 out of 5, I think. On crunch alone, it's crunch 5 out of 5.
Yeah, I would say 4 to 5.
Yeah, it
has a good crunch.
Yeah. It has a great crunch. Flavor wise, I mean,
it is a paper note.
But this paper note
can be a little bit
boring
and regular, but I reckon there is more taste in this than a regular paper note.
I reckon that as well, but this just works.
Yeah,
it just works very well. The flavor is very good. The smell, yeah, that's paper note. That's just, but it has that homely feel. It's
wintry paper note.
It's the wintry warmness that you need. Yeah. You know, it's when you smell this, you immediately think about a cup of tea or a cup of cocoa or maybe a good coffee with a couple of paper note and curling up with a good series,
fireplace,
warmness with a little blanket around your shoulders, and then maybe reading a good book or
that's this.
Yeah, or listening to your favorite podcast like Crippled Chris Review. Yes. Now available on every platform you could think
even
of.
Even when they review paper note.
Yeah.
But no, this is only once in a lifetime. So
enjoy it. Yeah. I really like, maybe next year we should do Tai Tai, but that's the next year.
First.
Now, let's just say the overall score for these original paper note, the original flavor, is just 5 out of 5.
I give them 4 out of 5.
Okay.
They're good.
Let's make it 4.5 then.
4.5.
Yeah.
Fine by me.
Okay, but drum roll, please. We have another. We have another crisp for you.
Ka-ching!
Yeah.
Well, which is not a crisp.
Yeah.
But another paper note.
Yeah.
Here in the Netherlands, we like to eat our paper noten with a coating of chocolate.
Yeah.
So
That's something more recent, right? That's something that came up in the last 20 years or so.
I guess so. Yeah.
So I
bought a bag of chocolate coated paper note.
Yeah.
It says luxury chocolate mix, and it's with white and dark
and milk.
Yes.
Chocolate.
So we're gonna try those.
I think that when I was like a child that still believes in Santa Claus, it's like when you're 5 or 6 years old, like that's your, like something like that. We didn't have chocolate covered paper note.
No.
I believe not.
No, I think I saw them when I was in high school.
It's an amazing invention because, to be honest, when you have tasted the chocolate covered paper note, you think the normal paper note are shit.
Paper note are the nuts, and chocolate covered paper note are the nuts times two.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe even times pi.
second degree.
Maybe to the second degree, yeah.
Okay.
The nut square.
Smells chocolatey, a little bit raisiny. Like there's raisins in there. There are no raisins.
Yeah, but that's because you probably associate this smell with chocolate covered raisins.
Possibly.
Some branch of your brain will do this, I reckon.
But smell them as well, and maybe you see what I mean.
Yeah, I smelled it as well. And to be honest, I taste it now as well a little bit.
Yeah, there is a fruity, dark fruity tone in there.
Yeah.
But also a hint of orange.
Yeah.
Mm.
These are, let's just say it like this.
normal, let's say, if you just go to the Albert Heijn and you buy a regular bag of just normal, plain old, original pepernoten, these are the nuts, right? These are good. You will be happy. You're eating the whole bag in one sitting, probably, because you're fatty, fatty, boom, boom. Even if you
and
don't show it from the
sick
outside,
afterwards.
You get a little sick afterwards. You will not eat your vegetables the rest of the day. You will not eat fruit. You will feel a little bit of a stomach ache, and when you take that final shit the next day, you will feel like you have accomplished something, as if you climbed the Mount Everest, but then in just eating stuff. Then you have just normal, plain old chocolate-covered pepernoten that you can also just buy at any local supermarket or whatnot where you come by. These are the nuts squared. These are very good. You will try to eat the whole bag, but halfway through the bag, you will understand that the bag is stronger than you are. That the bag will overcome you. That the bag will win.
That you are defeated. That you're by defeated. The bag.
And you will be. Passed out wherever you started eating. They will find you passed out on your flat on your face, with the bag of chocolate covered paper note next to you.
Maybe with a little bit of vomit.
Maybe with a little bit of
corners.
Yeah. You look out, because you could suffocate on your own vomit, and that's deadly. That's very dangerous. Don't do that, people. Don't do that, children of the internet. But these motherfucking chocolate paper note from Van Delft, established in 1880. Are just the motherfucking nuts times a million. I mean, they are expressive. The different tones in here are... What's your opinion?
I'm going to say something which will probably get me killed by you.
Yeah, okay.
Because I like them. I really like them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I think the ratio chocolate to paper note...
Yeah.
Is a little bit in favor of the chocolate, which removes the enjoyment I get
from the paper
from the crunching of the paper note. I miss that a little.
Okay, I will not. The following statement is meant for our listeners, and especially listeners that have contact at the Michelin Bureau of Michelin Stars and Michelin Reviewers. Marijn just applied in an open application to become a Michelin star rater that travels the world eating at all the finest restaurants.
And then complaining about it.
And then complaining about it. Like, yes, of course, the soup was exquisite with made of tomatoes only harvested in the winter of 1954.
I don't know if those are very good tomatoes.
Yeah, I don't know either. But to be honest, I thought the basil was partaking too much of the flavor in my soup. This is you. This is you right now. You fucking cunt. No, you're right. You're right. It's a little bit too much.
Okay,
chocolate.
So first, you call me a cunt.
Yeah, but cunt is a good word.
And then you say, oh, actually, you're right.
Yeah, come on. Don't be a cunt, cunt. Just take the compliment.
Yeah, but which? The cunt compliment? The cuntlement?
The cuntlement, yes.
Okay, I will. Now, that is not to say that I think they are very good. And as I also said, they, besides the chocolate flavor, there's also some fruity flavors going on, which make them interesting to eat.
Yeah.
The only thing I would like to have is a little bit more crunch from the paper note, and it doesn't have that. And I think that is a little bit sad, because it's a good paper note. But... rest assured, I'm still going to give these 4.5 bags.
I give these 10 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah, you can't stop eating.
Yeah.
Are these getting you obese again?
Probably.
I think that's a very good. Do you want this bag near your?
No, not at all.
Well,
to be honest,
at least the conclusion that we can get from this is that these are paper notes. When you start eating them, you can't stop, which makes a good paper note.
I do want to warn and advise our listeners that these Van Delft paper notes are on the in the expensive side of paper notes.
Yes.
They're not that expensive.
Well,
it's a small bag.
I think for the normal ones, €3
is
for a bag of 250 gram.
It's quite
I
expensive.
I think that's a little much.
Yeah, but so don't blame us if you need to take a second mortgage out on your house or become quite severely indebted to the government because of overbuying of paper notes, because these are addictive. Yes, can I say this like
that? Hey, when you buy a bag, you only have 250 grams, so
yeah, you need another
and
bag.
And they are expensive, so
yeah. No, but the thing is, with a 250 gram bag, you don't even get nauseous. You know, you just can keep on eating, and then.
Mm. I even see here that the chocolate paper note is in a bag of 225 grams.
Yeah, then the bag will not defeat you. My whole statement about being defeated by the bag is not going to happen with a bag of this futile size. I mean,
this is enough for just the insides of your rotten tooth.
Yeah, of course. But I do want to tell my dear colleague Marijn de Vries that we are already 27 minutes into this podcast and we haven't even been to the trivia yet. So maybe we should just talk about the trivia.
Okay, let's do it quickly. Let me get my phone.
Let's just make this an extra long episode. I'm fine with it, actually.
the special Sinterklaas episode from Irate Crisps.
Yeah. I'm not going to call it the special because we have too many specials already. So
okay.
The non-official special.
The trivia.
Yeah.
Because we, as Dutch people, we eat a lot of pepernoten. We do that for quite some time now.
Yeah.
This factory
Van Delft
is there from 1880. 80.
Yeah.
Which is quite a long time.
Yeah.
And that is correct with the history. This tradition dates back to the 16th century.
Yeah.
Eating pepernoten. First, it was only just little scraps of leftover dough with similar spice
mixes.
Mix. But in time, we came to this, the hard paper note.
Yeah.
And we already see in paintings by Jan Steen.
Yeah.
You are a museologist.
A Belgian painter from the 13th century, I want to say. 12 something, or can I say this? Or is this later?
This is later.
Oh, sorry. I always
paintings by Jan Steen, for example, already show the eating of gingerbread cookies, pepernoten.
Yeah. I'm just back from.
Only in the 18th century that the gingerbread get its current shape and taste. It incorporated spices, pepper, nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, and cloves. Sailors took from the Far East. It's almost like Five Spice.
Yeah, I totally said everything wrong. I'm just back from vacation. It's Jan Steen. He was born in Leiden and he was born in 1626. So everything I just said is total
fake news.
It's fake news. But what's the guy? I'm thinking of the Belgian guy. No, it doesn't. Jan van Eyck, probably, or so.
Well, but
yeah.
the trivia goes on
yeah.
a little bit. The gingerbread with the most spices and the convex shape, the way they look right now, became popular, and that was called the spice nut or kruidnoot.
Yes.
these are actually kruidnoten.
Yes.
But it was popularly called gingerbread or pepernoten.
Yeah.
So that was the trivia.
Yeah, very interesting trivia.
So from the 16th century already, we are eating pepernoten with Sinterklaas.
Yeah, and that is that's a really long time, and
luckily these are not that old.
Luckily these aren't that old.
I take. No,
but these are. These have that authentic taste, though. But let's just stop talking about the spice nuts, and just I'm gonna put a little bump.
Because Sam, you went on holiday to London.
Yeah, I'm just back. I was there for 5 days with my girlfriend. It was very fun, to be honest.
What did you do there?
Yeah, just visiting. Yeah, listeners to our podcast may or may not know that I used to study in Leicester. I did a master's at Leicester. That's also in the UK. And a lot of my friends still live in the UK and all move to London because there's more work in London, of course. And one of my best friends, Matthijs, is now doing a master's in London about fashion design and fashion management and all fashion marketing as well. And then fashion marketing, not management, sorry. I always mix up management and marketing. And so we went to see them, but we mostly went to do the London things. So walk around nice little neighborhoods. We bought very nice tea in a very delicate tea shop.
That sounds something you need to do in London.
Did you
drink tea as well?
We drank
quite a lot of tea.
We ate a good full English breakfast at Wetherspoons
because
at Wetherspoons a full English breakfast is only £3.60 or something like that. It's like very cheap, and it was good though. We ate some English pies, like meat pies. Mm-hmm. We ate Indian food, of course, because you have to eat Indian food when you're in the UK.
What kind of Indian food, or just tikka masala?
I want to get to know the butter chicken because butter chicken is officially, I believe, the most eaten. In the UK or something like that. It's something that actually doesn't exist in India, but it's called Indian food, but became to be
just because we like it.
Yeah, just because the English liked it, I think. And it was very good though, and I had some tastes from other Indian dishes as well. So it was very saag paneer and chicken vindaloo, but chicken vindaloo is fucking spicy.
Is very spicy.
And then you're very happy that you have a mango lassi nearby you to cool it all down with. No, it was very good though. And we went to a lot of nice museums. I have some recommendations. We went to a couple of smaller museums, which I like to go to, which I like as a museum studies. Masters, I really like to go to smaller museums.
You're just a museologist.
Yeah, but the big thing, is, of course, is what we do, you and I, is that we go to cities and then we a little bit test out how accessible the city is in a broader scheme of things. I didn't bring my wheelchair. I have to say this beforehand. I normally do this, but because I was only traveling with my girlfriend, we decided against it because elsewise it would be too tiring for her because she had to push me around the whole city then, and that's just not fair. And what we did is that there are a lot of big museums, and also in the little smaller ones you can borrow a wheelchair when you're inside of the museum.
Okay.
and the museum is of course a space that you walk around a lot in, and you walk a little back and forth, and you go this way and that way and this way and that way again.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and then I had my trusty cane with me, and that worked out. The thing is, when I arrived in London, the last time I was in London was 2016, like June-ish. And the last time I was in the UK was 2018 with you at Fringe. And Fringe is, of course, in Edinburgh. So that isn't
different
London.
Parts.
And what I remember from my time in the UK is that everybody is very courteous. Everybody is very friendly, is well-meaning in a sense. And that people, when they see you walking with a cane and you enter a bus or a tube, or they will get up for you and offer you their seat if there isn't any seats available at the moment. This didn't happen that much. This only happened 3 times during my whole 5-day crisscrossing through London. So we partook a lot in public transport. We practically entered a bus or a tube every hour or so, or every 1.5 hours. And only 3 times somebody got up and offered me, when it was crowded, somebody offered me a seat. And I was a little
disappointed.
Disappointed is maybe the right word. I was a little shocked as well, because my remembering of the UK system is that in Scotland everybody gets up for you, right? And the last time I was in London in 2016, I remember that everybody got up for me as well back then.
Okay.
Something happened.
Is it maybe because of Brexit?
Yeah,
of course you have European tattooed all over your forehead.
Nah, yeah, I want to say that I was wearing a hat from Bates during the whole trip. Bates is one of the most finest London establishment for hats, and especially handmade shirts, and I mean dress shirts. And so they should have seen me as being a real established London citizen, but apparently they...
Yeah, but did you also wear your Ajax t-shirt?
I didn't wear my Ajax
t-shirt. Because then, of course...
No, I only wear my Ajax t-shirt inside of the region that is that is called Amsterdam. I may wear it in Haarlem, because Haarlem is practically Amsterdam, but not further than that. I wouldn't wear an Ajax t-shirt even to Utrecht. Even if Ajax playing in Utrecht.
I can imagine that is a bit dangerous.
That's a bit... We are not even talking about...
Rotterdam or Eindhoven.
Or Eindhoven. Or all other...
But of course, Eindhoven is... Rotterdam is already quite far from Amsterdam. And Eindhoven is very far from
Amsterdam. Yeah, almost as far as London is.
Almost.
Yeah.
I think even further.
Probably. No. But long story short.
Anyways.
The accessibility was a little on the lacking side, and that made me wonder: is there a way to measure? Is there a benchmark for accessibility of a city? Do you know of such a thing?
Well, I've been to Breda a couple of weeks ago. I told you about this.
Yeah. Yes,
and Breda appears to be the most accessible city of Europe.
There was a contest about this. And they won this contest.
And
who organized this contest, may I ask?
I believe the European Union.
Okay.
It was something high up the ladder. And it was quite official. There were also cities from, I believe, from Poland and from Spain that were in top 5. So, if there is a competition, I believe there should be a benchmark as well. Or else, it's no use having a contest.
Yeah, I'm just looking... Yeah, I don't see the. Now I can't find. Oh, here, this is a good website, I think. I can't find an official list of the most accessible city. But that's all right. Although Breda, indeed, Breda won the Access City Award. And they did this because they. From the European Commission, indeed. Yeah, so you're right.
Of course I am.
Yeah. 2018, Lyon won this. 2017, Chester in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
2016, Milan. 15, Borås in Sweden. 14, Gothenburg, also in Sweden. So Sweden is doing quite well for itself. 13, Berlin, Germany. 12, Salzburg, Austria. 11, Avila, Spain. And 11 is the first time they ever did it. So
okay.
That's quite interesting to know. Okay, so
and is there a benchmark? What do they rate these cities to? What does the city need to do to become an accessible city?
That's a very good point. I have the official website here.
Yes.
It's probably what I read is that you need to have more than 50,000 inhabitants. And it's you also have to prove that you are not only that you are accessible just because you have a city that's on a mountain, a flat mountain top, and everything is just all the same accessibility, but that you are also making strides to become more accessible.
Okay.
That's a big thing.
And I believe
thing.
That you also need to do something with accessibility in granting people with certain disability a job and stuff
That might fairly be. Like, I will just put this link to this website in the.
Put it in the description.
I will put it in the description, and we should look it up a little bit more and maybe talk about it another time, because it's interesting stuff. What I'm reading here now quite quickly, Marijn.
Yes.
This has been quite a long podcast, and we have been rambling on about, I believe...
Papernote.
Papernote.
Quite a lot.
Epstein, who didn't kill himself, by the way. Epstein didn't commit suicide. I believe that. And...
I don't know. I don't have enough information about this.
Yeah.
And it's too far for me.
Yeah. But let's do a quick roundup of what we all talked about. We talked about Papernote.
Yes, a lot.
We
Papernote, chocolate Papernote.
Chocolate Papernote as well. We talked about the history of Papernote and where they came from and the special spice mix. And that they have already been around since the 16th century. Did I say?
16th century, yes.
Then we briefly now... quite long.
We talked about London.
We talked about London, and we talked about accessibility of cities in general. I think it's a very interesting podcast, and we should talk about accessibility. Maybe we should prepare that more for another podcast in the future. Maybe something for in 2020. Maybe that's something.
If you want to hear more accessibility talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah.
In the comments, send us a message.
Yeah.
Slide us a DM.
Yeah.
And whatever more. Find us on Twitter, Facebook,
Instagram,
and whatnot.
Yeah. You can now find
share, subscribe.
Yeah, you can find all the episodes we recorded on iratecrisps.com. You can send us an email at podcast@iratecrisps.com. That's the only email address that works currently, but you can send us an email if you would like to. And we really want to do an extensive thank you for the Audio Geeks team, because we are
for
very
being
happy.
Part of the family.
Yeah, it's a warm family, especially in these cold winter times. We're very happy to be part of it. And I want to thank you for podcasting with me.
I want to thank you for podcasting with me. And I want to thank the listener
for listening to us.
For listening to us. And until next time, that is how the crisp crunches or the paper note.